The Bible tells us that we are flock. And he refers to us as a sheep. And he refers to us as having a shepherd, and he's our shepherd. And all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, he deals with us at all times like sheep, like a flock. Shepherd dealing with a sheep. Now, why didn't he say that we were dogs? Well, we're not. Why didn't he say it was a cow? Or maybe a burro? Why didn't he say it was a porcupine? Or a hyena? Or a wolf? Or maybe he might say a giraffe? Or a lion? You know, there are thousands and thousands of various things that I could mention. But he didn't. He said we're sheep. All the way through. And he emphasized the fact it's not almost a sheep, not something like a sheep, they're a sheep. You know why? I'll tell you why. I don't care what you come up here and tell me, any of God's objects, anything he made, everything he made it with a way of escape to cope with its enemy. Yes, he did. Now it says the coney is a little tiny fella and he can't fight. He is very weak, and there's a lot of things out there that he becomes a prey to. There's the bald eagle that watches for the coney, and he's a little young, helpless, defenseless animal, and he watches for him like the devil watches over individuals to try to, the devil, your adversary, goes to and fro seeking who he may devour. That's what God says about him. You may not see the devil, but he's in the land and he's got your number and he's after you. And we find that the coney has the chicken hawks that watch for him, has the coyotes that watch for him, he has the foxes that watch for him, and he has the weasels that watch for him. And he has dozens of various animals that would like to have a dinner off of him, you see. But the Bible says the coney is a feeble folk. But he makes his hole in a rock. He says, sits out there and basks in the sunshine, keeps his eyes, got a very quick eye, you know, see. And if the bird comes too close, he just lets him fly. But if he goes into a dive, he just backs up, lets him hit the ground, because he's right there by his hole. He's got a rock there. And the book says, the Bible said, the coney is a feeble folk. But he makes his hole in the rock. Now, I know a lot of things that make their hole in the ground. And you can dig them out. But God has given every one of them a way of defense. Protect yourself. Shield yourself from the enemy. He gives the cow the horn to hook him. And he gives the bull the sound, and he can knock up that dust on his back and start in after you, brother, and you take to the tree. And he gives the dog a defense. He gives the skunk a defense. He gives the every animal you can imagine. They either can climb a tree or they can outrun. They're swift on the feet. There is some way of defense in everything God's made but a sheep. The Bible emphasizes the fact that the sheep is helpless against the enemy, against the wolf, and against those that would pray against it. Now, of all the things, who ever heard of a dogherd? No, you never did. But you have heard of a shepherd. That means one that takes care of sheep. They call them shepherds. Now, if we had to have people and every dog had to have someone to watch over him, then there'd be a dogherd somewhere or a catterd. That, you know, they can't. But a cat can take care of itself. I don't care how big the dog is. They've got sense enough, and they teach their little ones when they are born. I imagine the mama teaches them and says to them, "Now, you see that thing going there, hon? That's an alley cat. And you must always remember that you're a dog, and that's a cat, and we're enemies, and we hate each other. And we all, dog, if you raise and you grow up to be a nice big dog, I imagine that this is what they do because they sure carry it out in their actions. That they tell the little pups that if you are going to be a good dog, always run cats. Because dogs are the enemies of cats. But now let me tell you, children, I can imagine the dog says, be sure to never make the mistake of catching it. Just run it and bark at it, but don't catch it. Because there has been a few dogs that run the cat and outrun it and caught it to its sorrow. Because whenever that dog catches that cat, then the dog gets the worst of the race. Because it comes out of there bleeding and howling and bloody, and it's had a fight. That cat has a defense. The dog is bigger, heavier, bigger teeth, and can bite, but it can't cope with that cat. God gave that cat a defense. The human being is absolutely defenseless against the forces of hell and Satan and demons and the spirit of this world. You can't cope against it. The Bible speaks of the spirit of this world. If you're a natural person and never been born again, you do not have Christ in you. You cannot say this, but if you're a child of God, born again, a new creature, you have Christ in you. It said, fear not he that is in the world, for he that is within you is greater.
Right.
You see? But to the man that's unsaved, the sheep that has no shepherd, then he can say that he can fear he that is in the world because you have no defense against it. But it says to the Christian, fear not he that is in the world, for he that is in you. Now, what it's talking about is not an experience. It's talking about a person, he that is in you. If it is an experience, he'd say that which is in you, or the experience which is in you. But he said he, H-E is personal pronoun. It's talking about Christ. Christ is in you, and therefore is greater than he that is in the world. So every last one of us, like Job back there, Job was a beautiful picture of God's children today. There's a lot of people in the world Satan had access to and he could get to. But the Bible teaches us very clearly that as God held a conversation with the devil, now the devil lied to you, he'll lie to anybody. But whenever God comes to the devil and asks the devil something, you put it down in your book. The devil is never going to lie to God because he knows God knows already exactly the truth of the thing. And when God said to the devil, devil, where have you been? You know? Why, the devil could have looked at God and grinned and said, are you asking me where I've been when I can't even make one little crooked move without you knowing exactly where I am and what I'm doing and what I'm planning? Do you think for 1 minute Satan is slick enough to go ahead and do something and later on God find it out? God knows everything. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. But why did God ask him, where have you been? It's because he wanted to get the confession out of the mouth of the devil and put it in the book so I could read it and give it to you, and we could rejoice in the fact that we know what the devil said. He said, I have been going to and fro and up and down in the earth. That's where I've been. I have been on the beat looking for people I might devour. Now, that's why we have it in the book. Then he said to him, well, have you run across Job, my servant? I'm just kind of wondering when you run across him, what you thought, what your thinkings were. Have you considered Job, my servant? What do you think about him? Righteous man, upright, one that loveth God and escheweth evil, hates evil. And, he said, I've run all about, I know all about Job. I've seen him. But, who wouldn't love you? And who wouldn't go ahead and act like he does since you've got him hedged in and I can't get to him? There's no way I can touch him. Not only have you got him protected and hedged in, but you've got all of his servants hedged in. And you've got all of his servants' possessions, all their flock, all of their animals, and all of their children. And you've got your Job's children all hedged in. Anything that pertains to Job, you've got a hedge around it, and you've said, devil, don't cross over. Leave this alone, and there's a line that I, God, has made around him, and I don't expect you to penetrate it. Now, that's what the Bible says. So he said to God, he said, well, God said, he said, if you just let that hedge down where I could get to him. Now, you said, well, Rick and the devil couldn't get to him. Not a way in the world. No, because those children were in safekeeping. All of his servants were in safekeeping. His animals were in safekeeping. You say, do you actually believe that there was a protection over Job's sheep and cattle and camels and asses more than the others? I believe with all my heart that God Almighty pronounced his blessing like he told Abraham. He said, I'll bless everything you put your hand to. Yes. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And I'll not cause the calves to die when they're born out in the field. I'll bless them. I believe with all my heart that God's blessings, when it comes upon a human being, and the Bible said we today, the blessing of Abraham comes on us through Christ. If we do not have Christ, we don't have that blessing. But we have the blessing that brings the protection and the security. And what I'm talking about is going through life with a security. I need to go through fear. This world is full of fear. You find untold thousands of women in the city of Dallas today shaking on the inside. They're afraid of what's going to happen. There's a thousand fears the devil put in them. But Job, it was said, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Amen.
Now, he said, I may not have everything, but I'm sure not going to want anything I don't have, because he's going to satisfy me. And so I like to believe what I read in the Bible. And then God said, the only reason a man like that serve you is because you put up the hedge. Now, do you think that is a hedge like you have outside of your fence? Listen, if it had been a wall 50 foot thick of concrete and 2,000 feet high, Satan looked at it and laughed and walked right through it. You see, a hedge is something that you put there between you and your neighbor's house to say, this is my property and that's yours. They call it a hedge. That's the name of it. It's a plant they use. But the reason they call that little plant a hedge, it's because they use it to separate the dividing line between your property and the next door neighbor's. Now, that's why they call that little shrub there a hedge. Now, what God's Bible calls a hedge is when God says this line here is, I put this line around him. Devil, I don't want you to invade or cross over into anything that pertains to Job. That means his kids or his grandkids. It means his servants. It means his servants' kids. And it means his servants' flock. And it means all the flock that Job's has, every turkey you've got. I believe that Job's turkey had advantage over anybody else's turkey who's over there that didn't have God's hedge around them. I've got to believe it. And I've got to believe that God blessed him in every way, and he was looked up to by all in the whole nation. They looked up to him as one that was an outstanding individual character in all the land. Because of God's blessing, God put a hedge around him. I want to tell you that you cannot be a possession of God, born again in the kingdom of God, without a security even greater than that which Job had. That's the reason why we can relax. We don't have to fear. It does away with the fearing. People today are going through life tormented, thinking something's going to invade them and come on. He said, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. He's proved himself to be a deliverer. So let me just finish telling you this real quick, and I like this. You say, well, we've read it. I know it. I've read John 3:16. I like to hear it every now and then. But the point I'm getting at is this. Right today, you'd be surprised how many people, in spite of knowing all these things, they go about afraid. Well, I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to lose, pay for my house. I wonder if I'm going to be able to, or so-and-so has got this and it might go into something worse and all. And we imagine the worst thing instead of saying, I believe I've got a hedge around me. I believe God's going to take care. Amen. And if I ever have to go through a trial, it's just God's vote of confidence for me. And when the test is over, I'm going to come out all right. And that's exactly what happened in the story of Job. He finally said, no, devil, you're wrong. You's once occupied a very high position in my heavenly kingdom, but you failed. You turned me down. But I have men today on their own, and they're not forced by God. Oh, he said, if you'll just take that hedge out and let me get to Job and touch the things he's got, you'll find out what a good, sweet fellow he is and how he loves you. He'll cuss you. He'll curse to your face. And God said, devil, I'm going to tell you something. To show you I've got confidence in what Job's got, I'll just do that. I'll release the hedge. You can have access to everything Job's got. You can have access to his kids. You can have access to his servants. You can have access to his flock, his camels, his asses, his cows, his beef, his sheep. You can have access to his chickens and ducks and turkeys and I don't know what all. Now, it says you can have access to all that, but Job and his wife, they're one, you know. And he said, now, but don't touch Job. Just leave Job alone. But I'll show you that he doesn't serve me because of things. A lot of times the Lord may just check you. And you know the story that when it was let over and the hedge was let down and Satan could cross it, he came in and brought a great terrific wind and blew Job's house down with all of his kids there, waited till all got there, blew it down, killed all of them. You say, do you think God did that? I don't think God had one thing to do with any of it. He turned it over, and by the power of the devil, that all happened by the devil's power. That's what the Bible said. Now, that's a blow to say my kid's house is blowed down and every one of them's dead. And about the time you got that message, here come another fellow running in and said, you know the servants you had out attending to your thousands of sheep? Yep. Well, said, I am the only one that was left to tell you. They are all dead. And the fire came down right out of heaven. Fire came down and burned all the sheep up. And Job said, you mean my sheep are all gone? I said, yeah. And about that time, here come another running. Said, Job, I was tending to your camels over here, and someone came through and robbed and took every one of them and left out and taken your servants and killed them, and I'm the only one escaped to come and tell you. And he stood there and listened to one report right after other until he was stripped of everything he had. And Job went out. I can see him on the back porch as he went out there and he walked to and fro and he said, naked was I when I came into the world. I didn't have anything when I came in, and naked will I be when I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't you know, with his kids dead, with the house burned up, with his sheep burned up with fire from heaven, with his camels gone, his oxen's gone, his wealth taken away, everything stripped from him, and now he said, I didn't have anything when I started, I've wound up with nothing, but blessed be the name of the Lord.
Glory, thank you.
And I can imagine God smiled real big. And he saw the devil a few days later when God's sons, that's the people, the godly line on earth, they gathered together for service. And it wasn't someone like someone may claim, God's angels having a meeting together and heaven and God came along. That's the stupidest thing I've heard in my life. I said it's the stupidest thing. Who ever heard of angels and the devil going up into the kingdom of God? He was cast out way back there. He can talk to God, but he can't have access to the throne of God. Who ever heard of him going up there to a meeting of angels? And whoever heard of a bunch of angels coming down here and having a meeting, and so the devil could come in, why wouldn't they have a meeting up there where God is? See, so it's silly. It's righteous. It's people just like us come together to worship, sons of God. They were children of God. And Satan came along, and God was anxious to see him. He said, all right, Satan, we had a little talk not long ago. You remember that? He said, yeah, I remember it. Well, he said, our talk was about Job. His children are gone. His house are gone. I wouldn't do that for everybody. And there's a terrible loss. Those kids are not able to live out their life. But I wanted to show you, devil, though you robbed me of a lot of my angels, and you down in your stubborn, mean heart, you think no one serves me unless there's a cause, but there are men that will not sell out to the devil. I think I'm talking to somebody right now. And I think I'm talking to somebody out there in radio land. And I want you to listen to it. But he said, I want you to know that his kids are gone. And I want you to know that his sheep are burned up with fire from heaven. And I want you to know that all of his sheep and his cattle and his camels are gone. His riches are gone. And he has said, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the devil blushed. And he said, well, I know that, but skin for skin. Listen to me. If you'll just let me get to Job now, here's one other thing, make you shout and dance a little bit if you want to do. When God moves the hedge and says it's moved, but just so much, you're still limited, but you can't come around that Job. It's a circle around him. He confessed, I can't get to him. Brother, the devil can only come as far as God permits him. If you are God's property, Satan had access to anybody on earth at that time who was not in God's possession. My Bible teaches me that. Common sense tells me that's the truth. And that Satan of hell has access to anybody in this city that is in the kingdom of the devil. They're not born again. They do not have Christ. Brother, I wouldn't want to walk across the street without Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
But he came back and he said, I can't get to Job. And don't you never kid it. If there's a hole big enough or there was a legal way he could have got to Job, he'd have done it. I'm so glad that if God puts a hedge around us and there's a greater protection for us than Job ever dared to have. He said with his own mouth, and God said, listen to my son. He never lies. Hear him. And he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. When you get out and say, I think I'm going to take a death of cold. God said, well, I had protection from that death of cold, but you'll get it now. Because you've gone over on Satan's side, you are doubting, and you're saying you're going to receive it. So you'll have it. Oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. God doesn't either. When you say, thank God, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going through. I'm going to have 3 meals a day, and I'm going to keep the victory. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. Then God said, well, I know what you're going to do too. That's faith.
Amen.
God don't have 5 minutes to people that live on negatives of life. He wants you to live on positives. But the long story, God said, I'll tell you what I'll do, devil. I wouldn't do this for a lot of people, but I want to show you once and for all, and I want it put in the book so Hibbert can have it. Oh, he didn't call my name, but he said he meant for that I could preach it this morning and preach it to those listening in on the air. And he said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you get to Job, take him over, do anything you want to, but listen to this. You can come as near as you want to, but don't you kill him. When you get through with him, you just still let his spirit be in his body, and I want you to bring him back because I can fix him up. I don't care what's wrong. If you bring him back, I can fix him up after you get through with him. But I'll turn him over to you. And Satan moved quickly, came to Job, started the top of his head and wound up the bottom of his feet, put great big old bone-eating sores all over him. And he couldn't sit down nowhere because he had him there and he had him anywhere he'd stand. And it said he sat down in ashes, big ashes, soft, you know, those ashes. And he'd take and scrape himself, tormented, there, with his kids gone, riches gone, everything else, there. But when he went through the enduring of being laughed at, mocked at and said, shall it out, you've lied. Now, Job, you know good and well, there's a bug under the chip God wouldn't do this to a man if he's innocent. Come on, cough it up. What you been doing, Job? And he sit there and listened to him after so many, many, many months until the darkness become very dark. Until one day the wife looked out and said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? He said, shut up, woman. You talk like a foolish woman. God knows the way that I've taken, and when I come forth, I'll be like pure gold. And God said, devil, it's enough. Get off of him and get away, please, and do it quick. And when he did, he took Job and blessed him and gave him more kids than he ever had before, more animals, more sheep. He had more sons. He had more daughters. He had more camels. He found his place back in the seat as a judge. His latter end was far greater than ever before. And God had the testimony to hand down to us that as sheep, we have a shepherd. Cost Job an awful lot, but we appreciate it because it comforts our heart. Now, this comfort that we have is something that we can help to share with others. Jesus gives us the blessed Holy Spirit, and we carry the Holy Spirit around with us day by day. Now, when I get sick, the Holy Spirit will help me. He will help me to have faith. I said he'll help me to have faith. And if there's a test that God wants to put me through before that deliverance comes, he's going to give me grace to stand true and not give up. Do you know there's been people that's give up just before the test was over?
Amen.
Just before the victory was won. And that's what God wants us to do this morning. He wants us to know that we have the Holy Spirit with us. We have Christ with us. And with that, we are sheep, but we're not defenseless because we have the one that comes against the enemy. Now, Satan is not afraid of you, and he's not afraid of me. But he is afraid of Jesus. And whenever Jesus says something, he knows what he said. Now, he said, any time, child, that you want to get rid of him, I'll tell you what you have to do. Just look at him and say, Satan, I rebuke you. I resist you in the name of the Lord. And Jesus said, resist the devil. And he, the devil, shall, not might or could, he said he shall flee from you. Now, he never flees from us because he's afraid of us. But he flees because God said, child, if you resist him, he'll run. And when that child resists him, he knows God's looking at him. And any time he fails to move, he has defied God. And God said he'll flee. And let me tell you, when you come to a temptation, and that temptation takes hold to you, and it's a real temptation, if you turn and say, Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus, the power of that temptation will break. It'll do it every time. Why? Because God has said he'll flee. He does know what God said, and he knows the promise he made, and God cannot backfire on a promise. But you just take that individual and let him get away from God and go back and backslide. He can stick out his tongue and talk about the devil all he wants to and say, Satan, I resist you. He'll just come right on and take possession, and we have no way to defend ourselves. But what is it worth this morning to have the protection that Jesus, the New Testament, has provided for us? You know, I kind of believe with all my heart in speaking this morning about the protection. There's people out there I was very conscious of, I was talking to on the radio, that were going through life fearful. Fearful. And they have a right to. They have a right to. But we need to realize our position in Christ. And I want us to look to God right now. Even though it's over, God knows who they were. And he knows how to speak to them. He knows how to move upon their heart to let them come into an experience with God. Father, we pray that you would move upon that individual. We pray that you'd speak to that individual for Christ's sake, because you're God and you're ever living to make intercession. We thank you this morning. We thank you for the grace of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Glory to God. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Brother Hicks, I want us to sing that. I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand. I was going to sing it a while ago and got preaching. Listen to the words of it. Praise God. When I'm tossed upon life's sea, and the way no, life is like a mighty sea, so tossed and driven. That's the way the one here goes. Both of them are a whole lot alike. Life is like a mighty sea, so tossed and driven. Billows rise within the heart of every man. Storms so many times will leave our heart with question. I don't need to understand, but I just need to hold God's hand. Well, I don't need to understand, but I just need to hold God's hand. And I don't ever need to ask the reason why, for I know He'll make a way through the night and through the day. I don't need to understand, I just need to hold God's hand. Now, I want you to listen to this. When my life here, down here, is through, He's going to call me yonder to my home up there beside the Crystal Sea. Then I will look back and I will review the past. I'm going to review the past that lay before me. You see, we're down here now and that's before us. And we worry about it. And the devil tells you never will be able to go through and make heaven. But it said, when I get up there, I'll look back and review the past that lay before me. I won't need to understand anymore. Isn't that wonderful? All right. When my life down here is through, He'll call me yonder to my home up there beside the Crystal Sea. Then I will look back, review the past that lay before me. I won't need to understand anymore. Well, I don't need to understand, and I just need to hold God's hand. And I don't ever need to ask the reason why, for I know He'll make a way through the night and through the day. I don't need to understand, but I just need to hold God's hand. Well, I don't need to understand, I just need to hold God's hand. I don't ever need to ask the reason why, for I know He'll make a way through the night and through the day. I don't need to understand, but I just need to hold God's hand. This morning, as we go to prayer, I'll read these requests, and I want us to listen to them. How many believe that if there's one thing in the world that we know that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Now, it said when you want God to do something for you, there's two qualifications, two things you must believe, two things you must do. You must believe that God is. Not God was. It's not enough to believe He was. Oh, I believe He was there with David and delivered him from the giant. I believe He was there and delivered the Hebrew children from the fire furnace. And it's not enough to say, I believe He's going to come and judge the world and send the devil into hell and all the wicked. He that comes to God must believe that he not was or going to be. He that comes to God, he must believe that God is. That's right this second, God's on the throne. Right this second, His Son, Jesus Christ, is sitting at His right hand. That's Bible. He's there. And no one can dethrone Him. And another thing, He's sitting there the same as He was when He walked the Sea of Galilee. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He that comes to God must believe He is. And that He, you see, there's not just one thing. Can you imagine how impossible it'd be to get something from God and you'd come and say, well, I don't believe God is now. I don't believe He exists. But He has, and somehow He will come back and exist again. But I better offer a little prayer. How impossible would it be for us to get something from God not believing He existed? Huh? See? Now, just as impossible, the second, the first one, for us to believe that I'm going to get something, but God's not. He doesn't exist. He that comes to God must believe He is. And that He is a rewarder.
Yes.
Not has been a rewarder.
No.
Not going to be a rewarder. But that He is a rewarder.
Amen.
That means when you get through, believe you got it. You say, I don't feel nothing. Oh, He said, you don't have to feel nothing. But believe it. And then you'll get it. He said, I don't want you to get it and then believe it. Never. Believe it and then get it. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. And you shall is future. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that. That's present tense. You say, maybe they made a mistake putting that. No, He didn't make a mistake. Because every other thing He made all through the Bible was the same way too. He said, ask, number one. Number two, believe. That's number two. Then number three, you receive it. Where do you get it? Here. Where do you believe it? Right here. Where do you ask? Right here. Ask, believe, receive. Ask, believe, receive. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. When you come to God, believe He is, and He is a rewarder.
Amen.
You thank God, so it's done in your hand. Thank God. It's finished work. Then God's got something to go by. He's acting. He's operating on faith.